Good morning, brothers and sisters. We are continuing our series of Colossians. Now we are in chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. This portion of Bible, the scripture portion, is declaring that, showing the supremacy of Christ. Actually, this portion is poetic genre. Paul did not write normal words, but he wrote poem. We can sing these verses from verse 15 to 20. Because Paul did not mention you, me, just he mentioned about Jesus Christ, his supremacy, his sufficiency. We have seen verse 15 to 17 that knowing the supremacy of Christ in creation, Christ is supreme in creation. Now we are going to look at verse 18 to 20. It is talking about the supremacy of Christ in the church. He is not only supreme in the world, in the universe, and also he is supreme in the church. He is above all. It is very clear. We have seen, it is very clear, right? From verse 15 to 20, every word, every verse, it is declaring that Jesus is sufficient. Jesus is supreme. We can see very clearly that. Last time we have seen that Christ, he has divine nature, divine essence in himself. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is above all. He is the one who created the universe by him, for him, in him. Everything was created. He is the creator. We have seen he is before all things. He is before all things. He is eternal God. If you remember, he is the one who sustains the whole creation. Everything is held together in him. He is sustaining by his power. He is supreme. Now we come to verse 18 to 20. Again we can see he is supreme. But he is in the He is supreme in the church. I want to remind you, we are living in last days, brothers and sisters. People are rejecting the truth, denying the gospel, not trusting Jesus' supremacy and sufficiency. Do you remember Jude chapter 1 verse 4? False teachers and those who follow false teachers, they deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Even though they come to the church, they have fellowship, they have Bible, they pray, but sometimes they deny their Master, Jesus Christ. The same problem happened in the city of Colossae, the surrounding cities. Epaphras went and told Paul, there is a problem in these churches in Colossae that they are not trusting Jesus Christ. They are not believing Jesus is enough, Jesus is sufficient for us. Then Paul wrote, Jesus is supreme. Listen, from verse 15 onwards, 20, he exalted Jesus Christ so that the church must know Jesus Christ is supreme, especially in this church. We read Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 to 20. He is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Verse 20. And through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. If you see these verses, we can say clearly, knowing the supremacy of Christ in the church, because he says he is the head, head of the body, church. He is beginning, firstborn from the dead. That itself is saying, showing that Jesus, he is supreme. Then he says, so that he himself will come to first place. First place, he is first above all. That is showing his supremacy. Then if you read, he is making peace. All things will be peaceful with God the Father because of him. He is the mediator who connects the universe, people to God the Father. That itself is showing Jesus Christ is supreme. So theme of this passage, knowing the sufficiency of Christ in the church. Brothers and sisters, Christ is not only supreme in creation, but also in church. Every time we come to the church, you come to the church, you are coming to worship Jesus Christ. We must adore him for his supremacy. You should not come to church to please pastor. We should not come to church to please somebody else. We should not come to the church for other things. We may get something, but we come to the church to adore this amazing God, Jesus Christ. He is supreme. We come to church together to worship him. We must have the thought when you are sleeping on Saturday night, you need to think tomorrow, Sunday, we need to go and worship this great God. That is our motivation, not people. Because he is supreme in the church. He is supreme even in the church. Three things that prove his supremacy in the church. The first thing that prove his supremacy in the church is his lordship over the church. His headship over the church. We can say his headship over the church. Look at verse 18 part A. He is also head of the body, the church. There are many symbols used for church and Christ, the relationship. The many words used for to declare, to convey the idea, relationship between Christ and the church. For example, bride and bridegroom, vine and branch. Here Paul used the human body for the church. The head is for Christ. We can say two realities that we must accept because of his lordship, headship over the church. The first reality that we must accept because of his headship over the church is Christ is the Lord of the church. If he is head of the church, he is the Lord of the church. It is very clear. Here Greek idea is, he is the head, is an ongoing state. Continuously, he is the head, no one else. He alone is the head of the body. Here Greek idea is, the body is under dominion of head. The church, the body is under Jesus Christ's authority. He alone is the Lord of the body. The body refers to the church. It is very clear. The body and the church, the both are same here. So Paul is saying, Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. Here Paul illustrated the relationship between church and Christ by saying head and body. You know, human body is the Lord of all body parts, right? Because of brain. Even though nose, ears, tongue, eyes, legs, hands, everything is important, but without brain, those are useless. Do you agree with me? Head is important. The brain is the body's central conveyor of all information. The brain gives orders to the eyes to see, gives orders to the leg to walk, gives order to the hand to do something, gives order to the eyes to look at. The brain, the head is controlling whole body. I am speaking because my head, my brain is guiding me, giving orders to speak. I cannot do anything. You cannot do anything with your body without your head. That means head is controlling your body. That is the idea. Here Paul is very clearly saying, see, you are not the Lord of your life. Church is not by itself the Lord. The Lord is the head. Jesus is the Lord of the church. It is very clear. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 part B, you can see. Colossians chapter 2 verse 10 part B. He is the head over all rule and authority. He is the head over all rule and authority. Here head means, see, it is very clear, right? One who has authority over rule and authority. Especially he is the Lord of the church in our context. He is the Lord. He has authority over the church. It means no one has authority over church. No one is Lord of this church. You cannot say this person is Lord of Cornerstone Community Church. This person is having authority over this church, because Lord is the head of the church. Lord is the Lord of this church. Christ, He Himself the Lord. We must give glory to Christ alone, because Scripture very clearly says He is head of the body, head of the church. That means He is the Lord. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 22 says, He put all things in subjection under His feet, gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body. All things in His subjection under His feet. Jesus Christ is the Lord of this church. Jesus Christ is the Lord, no one else. That is the idea here. Why Paul is bringing Jesus Christ is the head of the church, Lord of the church? Because the churches in Colossae, they are thinking angels, other people, they are Lord of the church. No, 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 they are not Lord of the church. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. Any deity you worship, any man you can adore, they are not the Lord of the church. Jesus Christ is the Lord of the church. God put all things in subjection under His feet. He is the Lord. He is the one who gives orders to the members of the body. See, my eyes can see one direction, not by themselves, but the brain which is in head gave the order to see particular directions. My brain will give the direct orders to my hand, my leg. Whatever brain says, the body parts will do actions. But what Paul is saying here, there are many people in this church. There are many parts of the body, but each part will do work based on Lord Jesus Christ, based on His order. But in the church, there are many categories. Believers are there, deacons are there, elders are there, but everybody is part of the body, but head is Jesus Christ. Everybody is servants of Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever Jesus tells to them, whatever Jesus tells to you as a church, we will react. But every part cannot do same work, different work we'll do, but everybody will do based on Lord Jesus Christ's order. Based on His order. Brothers and sisters, we must submit to the authority of Jesus Christ. You as a church member should submit to the Lord in everything. Do the will of the Lord, what He says. Not somebody says, come to the Bible, look at what your Lord is saying. That is the most important thing. Nowadays, brothers and sisters, the Lord is not Lord of anymore in people's thinking. The people become lords, authorities over all people. But you need to think what Lord Jesus Christ is saying. That is most important thing you have to do. Please. In Him, you do all works. In Him, you do all your works. He is the Lord of the church. The second reality that we must accept because of His headship over the church is the church is dependent on Christ. Christ is the Lord of the church. The second reality is the church is dependent on Christ. Look at verse 18. He is also head of the body, the church. If parts of the body think that why should I join to head? Why should I join to head? If legs and hands separate themselves from the head, what will happen? They won't work. They were useless, right? If my hand says, I don't want to join with the head, what will happen? These hands are useless. Every body part should depend on head. It must be joined together with the head. You cannot separate the body parts from head. Church is dependent on Christ very clearly. You heard any time that if any accident happens, someone's hand is separated from body, they will try to take his hand, immediately go to the hospital so that they can able to attach the hand into the body. If they go very late, this hand will be useless. Why they will run? Because body parts cannot separate it from head. There is no life in the body if there is no head for that body. The church must depend on Jesus Christ. He is the head. He is the head. The church will grow spiritually and in love. The church will live if it is connected to the head. If church is not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the church will die. The people will die spiritually. They won't grow more if you are not connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15. It says, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head. Who is the head? Even Christ, verse 15, from whom the whole body being fitted, held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each part, causes the growth of the body for the building of its in love. See, every part being fitted, held together by whatever joints supplies according to the proper work of each part. The body parts are connected to the head, then the growth will come. Growth will come. If you are connected to Lord Jesus Christ, church is connected to Lord, then church will grow spiritually, maturely. Brothers and sisters, we need to grow spiritually. We need to depend on Christ for our salvation, for our sanctification. Maybe you are praying to overcome some sins. You are praying for other things. You want to read the Bible every day, but you are not able to read the Bible every day. How you will have commitment to read the Bible every day? How you will have commitment to follow Lord Jesus Christ in everyday life if you are connected to Lord Jesus Christ? If you are having intimacy with Lord Jesus Christ, we should follow the principles of head for things. You should hold fast to the head. That is Jesus Christ. Not to the elementary principles, not to legalism, not to angels, not to so-called people in the world, not to philosophy, wisdom, decrees of man. You should not connect it to these people, these things, but you should connect it to Lord Jesus Christ. He is the head. Without Him, you cannot survive as Christian. That's why Colossians chapter 2 verse 19 it says, Colossians chapter 2 verse 19, it says, not holding fast to the head. These false teachers, they are not holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied, held together, the joints grow with their growth which is from God. If there is no growth in this church, the reason is Jesus Christ. No, you are not depending upon Christ. The church is not depending upon Christ for spiritual growth. Just you want to live yourself. Just you want to think yourself. You are not committed to Lord Jesus Christ, what He is saying. Church must depend on Christ. Even false teachers, they are not connected to the head. They are not holding fast to the head. But we should not do that one, brothers and sisters. Okay, let me explain you. In what ways should we relate to the body of Christ? for spiritual growth. Because no, you are not alone to the head. There are many parts in the body. The all parts together, joined together to head. There are many parts in the body. How we should relate to the body of Christ? You cannot say, right? I want to relate head, but I don't want to relate hand. I don't want to relate legs. Body cannot say. Any part cannot say that. All parts together join, then connected to Lord Jesus Christ. I can say by depending upon other parts of the body. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 21. You can open your Bible. You go there. Just we will think how we can relate to the body of Christ. How we can grow spiritually in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 21. It says, it is, and the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. How can you say, how can hand say, I say, I don't need of you? We need to depend upon other parts of the body. You cannot say, I can survive by myself. But you will survive in Christ, spiritually, by depending upon other parts of body. You cannot cook by your hand, right? Sisters, ladies, your leg says, I don't want to participate when hand is making food, fistali, some delicious dish. If leg says that, how will you cook? To accomplish something, all parts has to be support other parts. You must depend upon other parts of the body. You can't say, I am alone. That is a sinful behavior. That is not biblical. If anybody says, I cannot depend upon anybody else, you need to depend upon everybody in this church because they are part of the body. The second way, by respecting other parts of the body. By respecting other parts of the body. Look at verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22. On the contrary, it is much truer that the members of the body, which seems to be weaker, are necessary. Verse 23, those members of the body which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. We cannot say heart is most important thing. We cannot say eyes are very important thing. Everything is very important. Even each part of the body is most honorable. God himself said. There are many different things, different people will come to the church. Maybe rich people, poor people, educated, uneducated. Maybe some people are very, they have wisdom. They can do more works for the Lord. Some people cannot sing well. Some people can sing well. Some people serve the church. Some people do other things. But we cannot disrespect anybody in this church. You should give honor other parts of the body. That's what scripture says. Then the church will grow. Then I can say, anybody can say, this church, Cornerstone Church, is connected to the head. If the church is not respecting each other parts of the body parts, then you are showing one thing, this church is not connected to the head. Be careful, brothers and sisters. You should not disrespect anybody in the church. Cultivate the respecting others. If anybody comes, go and wish, give shake hand, give one smile. Give one smile. It's like, no, we cannot avoid any people. We cannot avoid any people. You need to talk each and every one of us. You cannot say, I don't want a leg, I don't. Body cannot say like that. How can you say that? Everybody part of the body, that body has to connected to the head. Cultivate respecting other bodies of the part. He's not saying other things, go on, respect, honor everybody in the world. This verse is not saying your priority. will be respecting the body of Christ. You should not dishonor. Third way, by not dividing the body of Christ. By not dividing the body of Christ. Look at verse 25, part A. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 25, part A. So that there may be no division in the body. There may be no division in the body. We should not divide the church by saying, I am more important. We should not create divisions in the church. The unity must be there. Unity must be there. It is not like parties in the church. I eat some kind of food, so this batch. I eat this kind of food, so we are one party. These people are speak some languages, so they are separated. These people speak other language, so we won't connect with them. Some people, they have the, some cultural things, so we don't want to have fellowship with them. We cannot divide the church. The church is the body. The body unites together. Don't divide the body by divisions. The fourth one, by caring about other parts of body. By caring about other parts of the body. Look at verse 25, part B. That the members may have same care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If any member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. If one body part is crying, then my body won't support that. I will be silent only. My hand won't work. Just I will be thinking about that sorrow only. My heart is depressed. I cannot walk. Just I will sit. It's like, no, all parts of the body caring one another. Something happened to my hand. My leg cannot say, I cannot go to hospital. I cannot walk because that is hand. It's like caring one another. Caring one another. Paul is so practical. He gave the best illustration how you can care others. These all things happen when church is connected to the head. When you think you are connected to the church, you will do these all things. The second thing that proves his supremacy in the church is his victory over death. His victory over death. Verse 18, part B to verse 19. His victory over death. Look at verse 18. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the head, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. Paul says the Christ is the beginning, an ongoing state. He is beginning. He is the beginning. He does not mean he is the beginning of God's creation. Again, it contradicts verse 15 to 17. He is the creator of all things. He was not created by God. He is the beginning. The meaning of this word, he is the beginning. Beginning means in Greek, is the person, the thing that commences. The first person in a series, the one with whom a process began. That is the idea. Paul is saying that Christ himself is the beginning, one who commences and one who is the first person to commence everything. He is the beginning of everything because he is the image of God, verse 15. Image of invisible God. He created everything. He is before all things. In him all things hold together. Based on these characteristics, these qualities, he is the beginning. He is the one who begins everything. As well as resurrection. Resurrection is the beginning of one who rises from the dead. He started. He is the one who rose from the dead first. Look at what Paul described him. Firstborn of dead. He is the first one who rose from the dead. He defeated death by himself. Revelation chapter 1 verse 5 says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of dead. Firstborn of dead. Jesus Christ is the first one who has victory over death. The one who defeated the death. That's what he says. There are some who rose from the dead in the Bible. How does Jesus is firstborn of the dead? There are many, some people from the Bible, they rose from the dead. How can Jesus can be a firstborn of the dead? Because Lazarus rose from the dead, but he died again. The widow's son rose from the dead through Elijah's prayer. He died again. The God raised the Shunammite woman's son through Elisha, but he died again. They died, rose from the dead, again they slept. No one raised again. So they are not firstborn of the dead. Whenever Jesus, if you read, there is a resurrection, there is a rising the dead from the dead, then you need to think, Jesus has power to raise people from death. He has that power to raise people from the dead. That's what we need to understand. What about Elijah, Enoch? They haven't died physically, which proves the rapture. Which proves the rapture. So they are not firstborn of the dead. Do you understand? Those who rise from the dead, they died again. Two men in the Bible, they raptured, but they did not die physically to overcome the death. But one person who rose from the dead, that is Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. This text testifies us, he is the one who gives resurrection from death and victory over death. Whether it is rapture, resurrection, we believers have victory over death because of him. Because of him. Brothers and sisters, I want to draw your attention to one truth based on this praise, the firstborn from the dead. There are many who will be raised from the dead in future. That is the idea. Let me tell you to understand. If there is a first prize, after that, second prize, third prize is there, right? If you introduce me, this is my first son, that you are telling you have one more son. If you receive your first month salary, you say to your friends, I received first salary. That means you are going to receive second month salary, third month salary. So here, Paul used first born from the dead means he is the first one who has victory over death. After him, there are many people, those who believed in him, rose from the dead. They have victory also. That's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is saying. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 20 says, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. Verse 23, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming. There are, if you die, if those who believe in Jesus Christ, if they die, Christ will raise them again. That is the truth we have. We have hope, brothers and sisters. We have hope. We should not very sorrowful, without hopeless, if anybody is going to die, if they are in Jesus Christ. Most of the time, we are very happy, we are very confident about Jesus Christ. When you think about your death, the most of the Christians, what will happen? What will happen? The doubt will come. Will Jesus rise us from death? Truly, is it true? But Paul warned people. Paul warned the church in Corinth. Then they did not believe. They doubted the resurrection of Christ. Then Paul wrote them. If you see 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 54 onwards. He says, but when this perishable will have put on the imperishable, and this mortal will have put on the immortality. Then will come about the saying, it is written, it is written. Listen this word, the death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks to be God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Where is victory? Where is your victory, O death? Paul is challenging, the Lord is challenging the death. Where is your victory? Christ won that victory. Death cannot harm his people. Those who believed in Jesus Christ, death cannot harm. Just they are sleeping. Just they are sleeping. We are going to meet them. If you miss your beloved ones, you are going to meet them. Christ is going to raise you from death. Don't doubt that. There is a resurrection. There is a hope for us. But only option, if you have desire to rise from the dead, but only one option for you, brothers and sisters, you must trust in Jesus Christ. But don't forget the realities. Don't think, I will live eternally, no death for us. Look at society, read the newspapers. So many people are dying, right? One day you are going to die. What is your future? What is your hope? If you believe in Jesus Christ will raise you. That is our hope. Here are two things that we must know about his victory over death. The first thing is his preeminence, purpose, why he rose. Why he rose? Look at verse 18. It says, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Look at the word, so that. Here Paul is giving the purpose of Christ's resurrection. Purpose. The purpose of the resurrection of Christ is to become first, preeminent of all things. For that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is first. He is preeminent over all creation. Now he is preeminent in his creation, resurrection. He must be preeminent in creation as Son of God, and also he must be preeminent as the fully man and fully God. He is first. He is first. Christ is the one who had victory over death. He must be the first in everything. Everything. Brothers and sisters, you should honor him as the most important, prominent one in your life. Prominent one in your life. Who is most important person in your life? Just ask yourself, ask your mind, ask your heart. Who is most important one in your life? That should be Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who rose from the dead. He is the one who gave hope to you. That is, you will rise again. He must be the first. Because he has defeated the death. For that, no, we need to honor him. We must show the immediate obedience if he commands through the word. Giving most preeminent things of yours to him. Your time, your strength, your money. It's like, you are not yours. You should respect someone who is above you. He is first. Not you. Not your family. Not even this church. Nobody else. First. He is the first. He is the first. For him you are doing everything. For him you are serving. For him you are doing all kind of service in the church. Because he is the first. Sometimes, generally, people may miss worshipping Jesus Christ for some reasons like sickness, some urgent death. Many things comes in our life. We need to look after our family members. Then we can skip the church. But no, one of the sin of church people in India, wherever it is, but giving small reasons not coming to church. Is it okay for you? If you think Jesus Christ the first one, you have to prepare in Saturday to come to church and worship Jesus Christ. If you are skipping the church for small reasons, then you are showing something that he is not preeminent in everything. He is not Lord. He is not first in your life. I am not saying legalistically you need to come every Sunday. See, what I am saying, no, if there is a strong reason, you can stop. But you cannot give like small reasons. Relatives came to a house, so I won't come to church. One time, if it is important, urgent work, that's fine. But no, don't give small reasons to come and worship this Supreme Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who created, who died for you. Died for you. Is he first in your life? We think those are not sin, right? You think those are not sin. But you are telling one thing, that is, I can do whatever I want. I can decide whatever I do. But Jesus Christ is the first in your life. There are many things, but you need to give the more preference to your Lord. The second thing that we must know about his victory over death is his divine fullness. His divine fullness. Verse 19. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. The reason for this preeminence of Christ over everything and his resurrection from the dead is, it was the Father's good pleasure for all fullness to dwell in him. Here Paul says that God is pleased with it to dwell all fullness of his in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to understand all the fullness of God dwells in Christ, not in any man, even pastor. The fullness, the divine nature, activities dwell only in Christ. That is the idea in Greek. Only in him. He is the God who has the fullness of God. Fullness of God. Colossians chapter 2 verse 9, it says, for in him all fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. Bodily form. To dwell in all present tense. It means the fullness of God only dwells in Christ permanently. Permanently. He is fully God eternally. That all nature of God, attributes of God, activities of God, the power of God, wisdom of God, love of God, all characteristics of God dwells richly in Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, if you read this verse plainly without understanding of the context of this letter, it says God was pleased to have all fullness to dwell in him, because he did not have the divine fullness at some point of time. Doubt may come, right? So he pleased, so he has. That means somehow one day, point of time, Jesus did not have the fullness. If you read text plainly, you will come to that thought. But that is a wrong thought. If you did not understand context of this epistle, what you need to understand, there are some Gnosticism is going on in Colossae church. They are preaching, if God cannot be God if he is man, God cannot dwell in man. But this verse we need to understand in the point of view of incarnation. Incarnation. Here Paul is proving that even though Jesus is man, he born to man, he is like just man only, fully man, but he has divine fullness in him. Divine fullness in him. He is fully man, 100% fully man, 100% fully God. He has both nature, divine nature, human nature. That's what Paul is saying. Even though he is man, he has all fullness. Why he is saying? Because people are saying, how you can worship a man? How can you worship this Jesus? He is like us. Why should we follow him? That time, we need to understand, even though he is man, he has all fullness of deity of God. That's what we need to understand. For this reason, he rose from the dead. Because he is fully God. Second one, he must be the first one. He must be the first one. Because he is God. He is God. He is not man. to avoid him, to disrespect him. He is fully God. Third thing that proves his supremacy in the church is his reconciliation through the cross. His reconciliation through the cross. Verse 20 says, through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him I say, whether things on the earth or things in heaven. This verse is saying that, brothers and sisters, God restores man's relationship with him through Jesus. Reconciliation means restoring the relationship with God through Jesus. Through Jesus, God made peace with everybody through him. This verse is saying reconciliation of people of God. God made peace. Christ made peace between God and everybody. Ultimately, all things, those are in heaven and on the earth, all kind of people as well as. Is this saying God saves all people, all things, all creatures? No, he's not saying. What it says here, Christ's reconciliation means accepting thing with God willingly or unwillingly. For believers, it means Jesus made peace between God and them. For the believers will submit to God with joy. Believers submit to God with joy. All unbelievers, fallen angels, and other things will have peace with God through Christ. They will not rebel against him. They will submit to him. It means submission. The angels, all demons, everything submitting to God because of Lord Jesus Christ. They are not rebellious against them. You remember when Jesus met demons, they are bowing down. Don't send us. That is called reconciliation of all things. This reconciliation happened through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24 onwards, 24, 25, verse 27, it says, then comes the end, when he hands over the kingdom to the God, the Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power. Verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. Under his feet. All are under Lord Jesus Christ. Feet. That is called peace. They are not rebellious against Lord Jesus Christ. They are not rebellious against God. Just they are under him. That's what it means. But it happened through the blood of cross. I thought Jesus died on the cross to reconcile only believers. Only believers. But this verse is saying that he died on the cross to make all things subject to him and God, whether they like or not. They may submit to Jesus Christ, they may submit to God, but not willingly. Just out of compulsorily, they are obeying Lord Jesus Christ. They are not obeying him joyfully. What happened through his cross? If you read Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, 15. Having cancelled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of way, having nailed it to the cross. Verse 15. Look at verse 15. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, he made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him. Jesus had victory over them. They cannot harm his people. They cannot rebellious against him. They have to be submit to Lord Jesus Christ. Through his cross, he made two things. He won the victory over them so that they must submit to him. Jesus Christ is the peacemaker, is the Prince of Peace. We are going to look next time how he reconciled us through his cross. But he is the peacemaker even to all things, even everything. All humankind will submit him. Brothers and sisters, thank God for sending his son for reconciliation. We are calling God Father. because of the blood of his cross. We are saved by grace through faith, but Christ removed enmity through his cross, To make you friend, child of God, he became the enemy of God on the cross to reconcile you. The Jewish historian Josephus, he said, crucifixion was widely practiced by the Romans, and thousands of people were crucified in first century, mostly during rebellions against Rome. The modern medical explanation for cause of death of crucifixion, they say, this was the worst of the execution because of unbearable pain and public shame. If anybody on the cross, it's like unbearable pain, at the same time shame. Hanging hold on by arms, causing great difficulty in breathing. They can breathe only when they push their leg so that they can take off burden of arms. Then they can take breathing. But that position itself causes severe pain in feet, arms, legs, back, causing the exhausted victim to fall down again. They will push their leg to take breath. They are not able to stand, have the strength. Again, they will fall down. So they are not able to take breath, then they will die because of that. They don't have enough oxygen breathing, the people will die. What I am saying, no, Jesus went through it. Not only this, he bore the wrath of God instead of us to reconcile. So we are saved. It is free for us, but it is not free for Lord Jesus Christ. He paid the penalty. He went through the suffering to make us his friends, to make us God's children. That's why Philippians chapter 2 verse 8 to 11 says, being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on the earth, under earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. God exalted Jesus Christ because of his cross work, what he has done. Now he is supreme, he is above all. God may give us that heart to follow Jesus Christ, to honor him as the most important person in our life, to fear him, to follow him, to enjoy his blessings and love. God may help us. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, you are supreme, Lord. Lord, give us humility before you. Lord, help us to worship you, follow you for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for giving great hope of resurrection. Thank you, Lord, for saving us from all our sins. Thank you, Lord, for made us your God's children. You made us your citizen in heaven, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord, to be humble and follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.